The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Jesus said to his disciples, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Please be seated. Well, I've mentioned before that Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa is one of my all-time heroes. And I don't mean that in the same sense that Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve are my all-time heroes, although I am eternally grateful to them that I got to see the Astros win a World Series before I died. But Bishop Tutu is even on a different, higher plane, a person I look up to and aspire to emulate in everything I do because he's such a wonderful and steadfast model of a faithful Christian life. You might remember that he won the Nobel Peace Prize. That was way back in 1984, and rightly so, rightly deserved, because while he spent almost all of his life in a relentless fight against the evil of apartheid in South Africa, he always insisted on peaceful resistance. No matter how violent the arguments became, how violent the other side reacted to their protests and marches, his voice was always quiet and calm. When apartheid finally ended, he was in his 60s, but he only expressed gratitude that it was over, never bitterness for the decades of denial. But most remarkably of all, Tutu preached forgiveness for the previous leaders that had wreaked so much evil on his people. Because Bishop Tutu traveled the world seeking support for his cause, he became very well known and a respected figure worldwide. And while he has obviously slowed down now that he's in his 80s, he's still a year younger than Father Scotty, but he slowed down some, but I still see his name in the news from time to time, still reminding the world of the need to treat each other with mercy and compassion. And one of his favorite native phrases that he used so often when he was making all of those talks around the world is an African phrase that has different pronunciations, but I'll use Ubuntu. Bishop Tutu says that while it's difficult to describe that African spirit of Ubuntu in English, what it is it represents the necessity of connectedness between humans. Ubuntu says you cannot be human on your own. You are only human through relationships. Ubuntu says God made us to exist within a network of human interdependence, that a person is a person only through other persons. Ubuntu says, I am because we are. I am because we are. In other words, one might say that Ubuntu expresses the idea that we're all connected together by God on a single vine of life, and that our lives and our very survival actually depend on working together with each other. Therefore, those ideas of Ubuntu fit very well with what we just read, the ideas that Jesus expressed in that gospel reading. So let's look again at what Jesus has to say about human connectedness and about our interdependence on God and each other. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and God the Father is the vine grower," which of course leaves us as the branches of the vine. And Jesus intends for this metaphor to be obvious, and it is. He's clearly talking about relationships. He's talking about, number one, our relationship of being rooted to God, the vine grower, through our attachment to Jesus as the vine. And he's also talking about our relationships to one another from being branches of the same vine. So let's talk about our relationships with each other first, of which a corollary is the role and necessity of being in community with each other, in our case, the church. In verse 5, Jesus says, "Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." I find that to be fairly strong language, because he's not saying that you might, you know, have a few ups and downs if you're not part of the vine. What he says is, if you're not part of the vine, you can do nothing. It reminds me of one of the things that I almost always say when I'm doing premarital counseling with a couple that's planning to be married, and we talk about their relationship with each other and relationship with God, and we talk about thinking of it as a triangle with each of the man and the woman down here and God at the top, and as you move closer to God, you automatically move closer to each other. In fact, unless God is the first love in our life, Jesus says we don't have the real capacity to love each other. Abide in me, be fruit of my vine, or you can do nothing, he says. Our relationships are doomed unless we are first grounded in a meaningful relationship with God. Because otherwise, our love of ourselves, our pride, our desire to be right, our need to have our needs met will always overpower our love of the other. Without God, it's going to be dog-eat-dog. It's going to be survival of the fittest. So being part of Christ's vine is essential to having loving relationships with each other. And the same is true for those who are further out on the vine than our immediate families or our close friends. Our willingness to love others as ourselves always comes first from our love of God and God's love of us. So the next question must be then, how do we attach ourselves to this vine of Jesus Christ? How do we keep from becoming a dead branch that is thrown into the fire? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because our church has many answers to that question. And I'll talk about just a few. Particularly our ministries that provide connections to God through keeping our branch alive and well and productive with Christian education and formation. Opportunities like Adult Sunday School, Education for Ministry, that's EFM, periodic book and Bible studies, shepherd groups, all of those things provide ways to grow in our faith by joining others to learn about the root on which our vine is planted. And learning about the root on which our vine is planted helps us keep our branch more healthy. Plus the many outreach opportunities we have which allow our branches to grow into new areas as we bring God's vine of love to others. Things like mentoring children at Jane Long or going on our adult mission trip to Galveston to counsel foster children in Galveston. Working after school with kids in North Richmond All of those things bring the love of God, the vine of love, to young people who so desperately need care and attention. Or working on the house we're rebuilding, serving on the committee that provides receptions and hospitality after funerals, those things bring the vine of comfort and shelter to those who need it the most. And those are just a few things that happen here and keep our Calvary branches alive and flourishing. Simply put, your church is not a place just to visit as a spiritual way station to provide weekly nourishment and then send you back out into your real lives in the world. The church, this family, is intended by God to be the branch of the vine of which you are an integral and necessary part. Therefore, your participation, your energy, your provision are all necessary for the spiritual well-being of not only you, but for all of us. I am because we are. As we said, we are rooted to God, the vine grower, through our attachment to Jesus, the vine. And it's only through that attachment to God that life has real meaning. Probably the most famous Christian writer in my lifetime was C.S. Lewis. In his classic book, Mere Christianity, he says this: "The moment we have self at all, there is a possibility of putting self first, wanting to be the center, wanting to be God, in fact. That was the sin of Satan, and that was the sin he taught the human race. That humans could be their own masters, invent some sort of happiness for themselves outside God, apart from God. But the reason why that can never succeed is this: God made us, and God designed the human machine to run on God's self. God is the fuel our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. God cannot give us a happiness and a peace apart from Himself, because it's not there. There's no such thing." There's a popular Christian axiom that says, search for joy, and it will elude you. Search for God wholeheartedly, and you will be found by God, and happiness will be thrown in as a byproduct. As Jesus says in the verses that immediately follow the ones we read this morning, He says, "Abide in my love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Our joy is completed. True happiness only comes when I abide in Christ, when I live in Christ, when I attach myself to that which is the vine of life. Namely, the vine of Jesus Christ. I am because we are. About three general conventions ago, our presiding bishop at that time, Catherine Shorey, she's Ruth Carroll's sister-in-law still, not the presiding bishop now. But anyway, she spoke about this idea of being completed through our relationship with others. In fact, she made that the theme of the convention. And that was a time when there were several crises in the Christian church in general, and certainly in our Episcopal church. Primarily, it was people that were leaving the church or those that just weren't coming at all. And she had this to say: "The overarching connection in all of these crises has to do with the great Western heresy that we can be saved as individuals, that any of us alone can be in right relationship with God. It's caricatured in some quarters by insisting that salvation depends on reciting a specific verbal formula about Jesus. However, that individualist focus is a form of idolatry, for it puts me and my words in the place that only God can occupy, at the center of existence, as the ground of being. That heresy is the reason for the theme that we have at this convention: I am because we are. And I can only become a whole person in relationship with others. I am because we are.